We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Saints and Bears Sunday in Chicago. Could be some typical Chicago weather. 40 degrees precipitation. I told you I was going to screw up a bunch of words today. I forewarned you. I'm not having a good day. The words are not coming out of my mouth very clearly or very easily. The voice of the Saints, Zach Strieff. How are you, Zach?
I'm doing good, Chris, and I'm just excited to have Chicago weather with Deuce this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Deuce is going to be a big baby, huh?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's going to tell you how cold he is.
Watch and laugh.
Yeah, I hope you jab him pretty good on that, because he's a big baby in cold weather. It's not going to be that cold.
No, it's not going to be that cold. It's going to be in the 40s. It'll be a nice day. We'll have a little bit of wind, I'm sure, being on Lake Michigan. But all in all, I think pretty manageable from a weather standpoint.
How'd you guys do with Zeta?
You know, we made out pretty good up here. We're in Covington, kind of in the Covington Madisonville border, and we've got power back, and really wasn't out really for us for very much at all. So we're doing pretty well, and certainly thinking about everybody that's still without power. And you know, obviously it was a tough night for everybody. It sounds like all things considered, we made out okay.
What did Ray think about this?
Ray didn't even know there was a storm going on. Okay. He was a little trooper, man. We did a T-Rex Lego build right around 6:30 before bed, and he was none the wiser.
Oh, okay. Nice. So slept right through it.
That's right, yeah.
Zach, I think you'd agree with me on this. The Saints offense has to win on third down and take advantage of red zone opportunities against a salty Bears defense in those two categories.
Yeah, salty might be a bit of an understatement. They've been awfully good down there. Red zone, third down, number one red zone defense in football, number two third down defense. So they've been outstanding in those two areas. And it's kind of interesting just considering that the Saints have essentially been the opposite of that. But you know, again, there's time to improve this season still. It's a good opportunity against the Bears. But yeah, you're looking at the number one or number two third down defense versus the number one third down offense, and should be fun to watch.
How much of a disruption is Akeem Hicks?
He's a disruption for sure. You know, Akeem's had a good season so far, leading them in TFL, second in sacks with the Bears. You know, Akeem is a guy that's going to be he's a hit or miss player to me. Now, he hits a lot. You know, when Akeem's able to get a good start, good jump off the football and get ahead of steam, he's really difficult to handle. And, you know, you see that over and over and over again on tape. But I do think that the Saints will have an opportunity with the guys that they have inside to match up with him. You know, usually some of these undersized guards, he really, really takes advantage of. But he's a very good football player, guy that the Saints know well, and he's a big challenge.
Zach, why do you think his career turned out differently than once he left New Orleans? I mean, he really blossomed in New England and then Chicago.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that can cause players to kind of make that turn. You know, it's not unusual to see a player, you know, come into his own a little bit, you know, slightly later in his career. You know, Akeem, I think, was just in his fourth season when he left the Saints. So, you know, a lot of time left to grow and mature and know who you are. But I also think that the system that he's running in Chicago really fits him well. They really give him a lot of freedom a lot of opportunity to kind of to move. And you know, he's a guy that really benefits from having a little bit of a jump on an offensive player, you know, a running start, so to say. And the Saints really played him late in his career in a four-eye technique, and it really didn't fit what Akeem does well. It really took away a lot of that explosiveness, and that's what makes him a special football player. I just don't think he was utilized correctly here.
The voice of the Saints, Zach Strief, previewing Sunday's tilt with the Bears in Chicago. Chicago's 5-2, Zach, and it just doesn't – I don't think of them as a 5-2 team. I know their defense is legit, but if now's the time for the Saints' defense to kind of get well, it's going to be against this Chicago offense that's they just don't score a lot of points.
Well, if you give up a bunch of big plays to this offense, you know you're doing something wrong, because it's an offense that really has been unable to do that really this season. So I certainly think that, you know, with each passing game, there's a sense of urgency in that building. They understand defensively the struggles that they've had. And, you know, like you said, this is an opportunity to improve on that. It's hard to go through a game like this if you are able to keep the big plays from happening and, you know, avoid some of those issues that have plagued you. They're certainly not fixed because you do it against the Bears, because it really is a group offensively that has struggled to create explosive plays, been really bad, really, quite honestly, in the running game. So, you know, you go into this football game expecting to be able to make them one-dimensional, and Nick Foles just has not been a whole lot better than Mitchell Trubisky. So, you know, offensively, it's a football team that's really struggled this year, and it should be a big advantage for the Saints defensively.
Nice to see the Saints wide receiver, all-pro wide receiver Michael Thomas, returning to practice today. That looks good for him to potentially play Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, you know, Mike's a fighter now, and I'm not using that as a pun. You know, Mike's going to do anything and everything he can to get back on the field. He's just so competitive, and we talk about that all the time. But, you know, Mike's going to do anything he can to get back on the field. It is good news to see that he's able to come back to practice today and get some work. And, you know, hopefully he gets an opportunity to come back. I know he'll be feeling extra pressure with Emmanuel Sanders still out. And, you know, Marquez Callaway, who, you know, I don't think is going to be able to go this week. So it's certainly good to get Mike back, always to get, you know, your best offensive player back in the fold.
Zach, Steelers or Chiefs, the best team in the AFC?
You know, I would say watching the last few weeks, I think the Steelers are probably playing better football right now. I think the Chiefs are a better football team, you know, and the Chiefs really, when you watch them play, I think they've got issues on the offensive line right now. They're dealing with injuries up front. Actually, just today, I saw brought back Brian Witzman, who had been with the Saints at one point. You know, I think that they're playing better football in Pittsburgh. That being said, I think you go down the stretch and you put these two teams in a, you know, win-or-go-home situation. I still probably like Kansas City more. But listen, with that defense and the Steelers and how they've been playing, it's a tough team right now.
NFC South kicks off week 8 tonight. It's the Panthers and Falcons. And I'm sure I don't have to ask who you're pulling for. We want to see Atlanta lose as many games as possible.
Well, at some point, you know, you really hope that Atlanta wins like 5 or 6 games, so they end up, you know, picking more 11th or 12th than 2nd or 3rd. Which is the path that they're going down right now. I still have enjoyed this week thinking about how stupid they were down the stretch in that game last week against Detroit. The whole perception that they needed another first down to run the clock, I guess, to 0 seconds. I just, for the life of me, don't understand. You take a knee, you kick that field goal, you give them 20 seconds to play and hope that you can hold on for 50 yards in 20 seconds. But you know, listen, they find new and innovative ways to mess up each week. It doesn't bother me at all. I enjoy every single one of them, and I hope I get to see another one tonight.
Zach, what do you hang your hat on with this team, with the Saints team? What would you be willing to, you know, place some money on and say, hey, you can count on this to happen week in and week out?
We're going to play run defense. This group's been stout now for 3 seasons against the run. They're outstanding again against the Panthers last week, currently 4th in the National Football League, 3rd in average per carry. They really have been excellent. Now, you know, I think a lot of that has come at the expense of passing yardage. And although, you know, to that point, this team doesn't necessarily give up a lot of yardage in general, but I think the most consistent thing that you've seen in this team over the last 3 years has been the ability to stop the run.
Zach, could we see some personnel changes, you think, in the back end of that secondary, given the Boston coverage? Could we see that this week?
Wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, I think at some point you start saying, hey, you know, we're either, and I'm sure they've been through all of these ranges, right? First you say, are we calling the right things? Are we calling things that our guys know? Do we need to simplify? Are we too complicated? Then you simplify things, and it continues to happen. And you say, well, we're not coaching it the right way. We're clearly not getting through to the guys. That's on us to get through to them, to make sure going into the game they know exactly what's happening. So you change your methods and how you're conveying it. You continue harping on the same points. It continues to happen. You start running out of options of how you fix it. And at some point you come to a realization that maybe it was not the scheme. Maybe it's not the coaching. Maybe it's the guys that are executing it. And, you know, that's not to attack anybody on the back end. That's just the process that they're going to go through upstairs. And so, you know, again, we continue to see it happen. It's continued to happen in football games. And I think it's very possible to see them, you know, say, well, you know, we no longer think that it's what we're calling or how we're teaching it. Maybe it's, you know, guys are just unable to focus in or unwilling to focus in. And, you know, at some point you start, you know, putting people on the bench, and whether that sends a message or it gets a guy in there that maybe won't make those big of a mistakes, maybe won't be as good the rest of the football game, but isn't going to kill you with a mental error like that. You know, at some point you decide to make that move.
Zach, we're so used to seeing Cam Jordan have tremendous success playing at an elite level. And he's got one sack this year. Do you think that's he's getting the brunt of the double teams? What do you think the reason for that is?
You know, it's really hard to put any onus on double teams or the amount of attention you're getting. You know, Myles Garrett's getting a whole lot of attention. Khalil Mack gets a whole lot of attention. Aaron Donald gets a whole lot of attention, you know, and guys find ways to win. And quite honestly, Cam Jordan has been getting a lot of attention for several years now. So I don't think it's that. You know, I don't think that Cam maybe has struggled a little bit coming back from that core injury that he had last season. What's interesting to me is, as much as we all want to, you know, decide that a player's worth on the defensive line is based off his sack total, Cam Jordan has 29 tackles this year. That's pretty incredible when you look at, you know, a guy like DeMario Davis, who has 38 from a will linebacker position. Basically, every single defensive scheme is designed to keep him untouched. Cam Jordan's been outstanding against the run. He has not been the pass rusher that we've grown accustomed to, you know, yet this season. And I don't know exactly why that is. And yet I'd also tell you he's been as productive as he's ever been against the run. And obviously there's a tremendous amount of value to that as well. Now, I think Cam would be the first to tell you, I have to find a way to get to the quarterback. That's what I do. That's what I get paid to do. But Cam's been very active. He's been still been very good for the New Orleans Saints. Again, to be third on the team in tackles from a defensive end position is quite honestly unheard of. And it has not translated to sacks yet. He's got plenty of pressures. He's not finishing the rushes quite yet. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, to see Cam have a 3-sack game, you know, going a little bit of a run, and suddenly he's got 6 or 7, and this is all kind of in the past.
Zach, so you got Ray, you got Porter. How has Ray embraced the newcomer Porter?
You know, most of the time pretty good. He threw a truck at him earlier, but, you know, it's as they do. They're doing great. He loves having a brother. You can't walk into Ray's room without Porter. His first question right out of his mouth is, where's Porter? So I think we're going to have two little buddies for many years to come, and they're both doing well, and it's certainly been a lot of fun to watch this too.
Is Porter growing at the rate that Ray was growing at that age?
He is. Yep, he's right on that track. He's crawling now. It's amazing that kind of time flies, certainly, apparently, when you're quarantined as well. But, yeah, he's going to be a big boy. I think Ray's going to be bigger. I think Porter's a little bit behind him.
You're going to have two big boys, that's for sure. Sounds like, at least.
Most likely.
All right, Zach. Thanks, man. Have a good call Sunday.
Thanks, Christian.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.